This is RSBNB Update, episode 191, recorded Thursday, February 12th, 2009, a sloshy Pepsi soup. Hello everybody, Brad's here, back this week. After having a little bit of an unfortunate sequence of circumstances with that thing they call the weather, because there was a good amount of snow in the greater England area, and they are not accustomed to that.
I blame the French.
Why?
Because.
Why?
It's all their fault.
Well, remember from your descendants, you're part French.
No, I'm not.
There you are. But anyways, yes, that's beside the point, but you're back now, and we're going to attempt to do this show, even if I end up almost sounding like I'm going to die halfway through, but you guys probably won't hear that.
No, because he'll drop dead, and this show will never get edited or uploaded, and you'll never hear it.
So in case you're hearing that, that didn't happen.
Yeah, anyways. So if you're hearing this, you know Shane is alive. We know it's terrible news. We hope you'll support us in this difficult time, because sadly he isn't gone, he's still here.
We got something called Soul Wars this week.
Soul Wars, aka Alterac Rally.
What?
The thing I was telling you about, that was sort of loosely based off...
Oh, right, right. Anyways, basically, to get to this place, you go through this portal in Edgeville, which takes you off to an island on the far west coast of RuneScape. What's that area called again?
What, the area
the
that...
the Elf Lads.
What's it called? No.
Lilletia is a city. Prifdina's province. Or something.
Yeah, Prifdina's, yeah.
I don't know. I'm screwed up. But it's off the coast of that. So, it's basically like a bigger version of Castle Wars.
It's sort of... Yeah, it's like a more interesting version of Castle Wars, really. It's more complex.
Yeah, because...
There's a big silence there. Are you dying?
No.
Oh, good.
I was waiting for you to say something about how it's like Castle Wars.
It's not exactly like Castle Wars. It's similar to Castle Wars. It's, like I said, it's more complicated than Castle Wars. It was. There's obviously more sort of things to concentrate on rather than simply obtaining the flag like Castle Wars is, but I think it's good, and the rewards are obviously more worthwhile than Castle Wars. I've always said the one bad thing about Castle Wars is there's no real reason to play it besides fun, and it's not that fun.
So basically what you want to do is once you first go there, you want to watch the tutorial. So when you watch the tutorial, then you realize that you spawn in one of two areas, either the red or the blue. Then your objective is to either defend the avatar, or you can go capture the soul obelisk by killing these spirit creatures who gives you part of their soul. Then use that on the obelisk. And then the longer you obtain the... you have control of the soul obelisk, the easier it becomes to take down the enemy's avatar. Like, for instance, at the start, it'll start out that you need a Slayer level of 100 to attack it.
Nobody at all can attack it because capes of achievement can't be bought into.
Yeah. So, you have to get it down eventually, and then that's the whole point, is to capture and hold the center obelisk in order to lower its defense. So, then once you do that, that's pretty much the whole point of the game. It respawns and you continue again. And, go ahead.
No, I have nothing to say.
Oh, okay. And when you die, it should be noted that you become a ghost, sort of like how you, when you get revived in World of Warcraft, you know, how that happens?
Yeah.
So, what did you think of it when you played it?
It was, more, like I said, it's certainly more. You have to pay more attention than Castle Wars, and I think it's probably a little more tactically based than Castle Wars is as well. it's certainly an improvement, and you know, like I said, it is worthwhile because you get experience. You can get experience. You can get charms, or
other rewards. XP except summoning.
And you can also, did you see the gamble thing, which gives you a random reward?
Yeah, that's rather silly.
I think it's fun. It's introducing a fun aspect.
I don't know. I wouldn't waste my stuff on that. You know, like you can get.
Well, you're not a gambler, then, are you, Shane?
Oh, I like to gamble. You can get like 22 unicorns, for example, proboscises.
But you just said you thought you just said you thought it was a stupid idea.
I do. Marigolds, wyvern bones, dragon bones. I don't know. I really don't think I'd gamble them away. But.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, probably best to spend it on guaranteed things. I didn't actually spend any of the points I won because I only played one game. But have you found out if the how much experience you get? If it's
not worth it. It's still
it's
better
not on a par
to go
with pest control then.
No. Well, it might be, but I think pest control is still more for those. But I know if for taking into account Slayer, you can get more Slayer XP in an hour than you could get playing these kind of games. Mm. So
that's a shame.
Yeah, and the charms are really expensive as well, so you're better off going to kill the water fiends. So I don't know. They need to do something with the rewards to make it more viable, you know? Because this is going to be one of those forgotten mini games that dies out because the rewards aren't good enough, you know? So
yeah, but I suppose it is a guaranteed way of getting charms.
Yeah.
Have you got any numbers on whether grinding charms is quicker?
Oh yeah, it is.
It is. It's still quicker.
Yeah. I forget what the number is, but I think 30 points or something gives you 30 blue charms.
So that's like, so you need to, you get 3 points for a win, so that's 10 wins.
Yeah.
That's not good. Yeah. You know, it's like I always say when Dragon Age releases mini games, and I've said this in the past, they come out with these good games, and Soul Wars is a pretty decent mini game. It's relatively fun to do. It's better than Castle Wars. It's engaging, maybe a little difficult for the majority of the retard population, but it's still good. But they completely ruin it by not making it worthwhile.
Exactly.
So there is no point to go and play this game.
Yeah. So that's quite sad how that happens, you know? Like, they did that with Vinesweeper, too. But there's something I was wondering. Like, what's the point of this game? Why are we doing this, you know? I know me and you were having a nice little conversation about that before the show started. Why? I was neglected to be informed anywhere as to why we have to defend the soul or the avatar, you know? Like,
why does it matter?
It has no point.
It's just what you do.
Mike was wondering the same thing.
But yeah,
and it's like
it's just.
I was talking to him last night about it. He said, "Why can't the two avatars fight together? Surely they could settle it faster than a bunch of humans could."
Because this is, it doesn't always have to make logical sense. It's just a game.
But we like things that make logical sense.
Why do you play RuneScape then?
Because it does make logical sense.
No, it doesn't. You raise skills like magic and summoning. They aren't real skills. It doesn't make logical sense. What are you on about?
Sure it does. You cast a spell, it gives you experience. Therefore, it's logical. Because it's something that's expected.
Okay, well, Soul Wars is logical because you
but
kill the avatar.
But there's two things that are just sitting there and they could stop and fight each other.
What things?
The two avatars, they could, like, stomp over everything and fight each other. They're that big.
How do you know? There might be some sort of, you know, isn't there, there's that force field around it. Maybe they can't move out of that.
Well, they could get the humans to lower that, then.
The humans can't lower it, can they?
Well, yeah, that could have been something they could have changed in the game, you know?
I don't see the point in sort of arguing
and another thing
over
that,
things like
that we were talking about was why does giving it souls from a dead NPC make the Slayer level required go down? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
I cannot believe this is the sort of you know incoherent crap I'd expect from you, Shane. I am sort of confused as to my... This is, you know, this is a game, RuneScape. It doesn't have to make sense in the context of the real world, because there are plenty of things that don't make sense within the game if you want to analyze it that far. Example, World of Warcraft, the latest expansion was released. There was an item which dropped off monsters and was sort of an ingredient for various recipes called crystallized fire.
Oh,
now, a lot of people bitched on the forums. It's not possible for fire to be crystallized.
Yeah, it's not possible.
It doesn't matter. It's a game. It's a game with druids and mages and warlocks and shamans, and none of these things exist as they are in the game in reality. And yet you're bitching over crystallized fire. It doesn't matter. It's not important. It's fiction. It's fictitious.
It is for me. That's one thing I'm gonna.
Well, don't play then. Don't play.
But I need to play.
No, you don't.
Because I like my farming. But anyways, that's enough for Soul Wars. Everybody, go out and make your own decision. Tell if you agree with me about the fact that there's no apparent reason as to why we're fighting this battle for them. But anyways, yes. Thank you. Rating out of 5?
I'll give it a 3. The rewards really let it down.
Okay, I'm going to give it a 2. Anyways, yeah. That's that. Something's a little more tangible that we can discuss now, called the future of RuneScape with their new CEO, Mark Girard. Which was rather weird, because they just got a new CEO sometime last year, didn't they?
Jeff Idison, wasn't it?
Yeah, from PayPal UK or something, right?
Yeah. It seems funny that he left after a relatively short amount of time.
It's called resigned. Otherwise known
yes,
as the board
but did
members
he jump,
kicked him
was
off.
Was he pushed?
I don't know. No one will ever know that.
You'd say after a short amount of time he was pushed, wouldn't you? Unless he had some sort of other reason for leaving.
Unless he had like a family crisis or something, but that's hard to believe. Coming from somewhere like PayPal UK, you'd think that he'd be able to handle a smaller enterprise such as RuneScape and Jagex, right?
Like, anyway, we'll never know, so there's really no point in going over it.
Okay, he said something that I've been that I've been beating on the drum for a long time about. It says that some of you may consider Jagex a secretive and closed off company, which isn't how I want to be perceived moving forward. Unlike most other companies, it just isn't our style to spend our time marketing or shouting about how great we are. We prefer to just get on and make cool games, but that doesn't mean we don't listen to what others have to say. They must have been listening to us, you know? Remember when I was talking about how they seem like a closed company from the late 90s or something and not open back in the summer? I was talking about that. Right?
Yeah, sorry.
So, I don't know. I think it's good that he's trying to change this vision, and with the Jagex Twitter channel, I think that's a obvious start, but the question is, will it continue to a point that everybody will be happy, you know? So I don't know. What do you think?
Sorry, are we still talking about Idison, or have we moved on to Gerhard?
No, we're talking about Jagex being closed off.
I think it's bad in some ways, because, you know, they do have a bit of a reputation for being assholes. You know, I've obviously made my feelings on that clear over many episodes, and I'm sure plenty of other people feel the same way, you know. I'm going to make a comparison with Blizzard here. Blizzard, they seem, in comparison to Jagex, completely disregarding the fact that they run two sort of, although the games have a lot of similarities or have a lot of differences, Blizzard are, they seem quite friendly. There's a lot of sort of interaction from the developers and sort of other staff at Blizzard. One developer posts on the US forums, but when they ever post sort of updates and patch notes, there's always sort of extended explanations, if you want, beforehand, before the changes are made and after they're made, as to why they made them and how they think they'll benefit the game. There's just a lot more feedback, and they sort of interact a lot more with the community, whereas Jagex don't.
That's what they need.
That is what they need.
They should hold like they should get the people together, you know, like Andrew, the CEO, whatever, Andrew and Mark, put them together and make them do like a monthly webcast, you know, and then have people...
No, because that'll put us out of business.
No, like just a monthly webcast where they answer players' questions and everything, you know? Like, have a week before where people can submit questions on the forums, and then they get their mods and stuff to go through them, and then they take, say, the 10 best ones and answer them, you know?
Yeah, but I think just on a general level, you know, they need to, when they release updates or they make changes, they need to sort of fully document the changes they make, not really sort of make so many stealth changes that aren't announced, and they need to say why they're doing them and, you know, why they felt they were forced to do them and how they think it's going to benefit the game and things like that. They just need to be more open, especially regarding their changes to the game.
Yeah, that's something that has to actually go without question now, seeing as most companies can do that with various online utilities in this day and age, and it's sort of expected, you know? It's not so far a matter of trying to mislead the public anymore, but rather work with them. Another interesting thing that he said is he views the free-to-play version of the game as the basic version, and then the members' version and expansion pack.
Yes. But I don't know whether, you know, this guy will follow through on his promise, and if his idea of, you know, stopping Jagex being such a closed-off company is the same as everybody else's, but I guess time will tell.
Yeah, so... Well, that's sort of good to hear. Next point is they'll be removing the monthly behind the scenes and adding more developer diary because they don't like working to the constraints of a behind the scenes. Like, you know, having to promise such and such for a certain month.
I guess that's good and bad because you sort of have less of an idea of what's coming up. But good in the way that they won't promise things and then not deliver on them.
Yeah, I actually think it's a good idea because it takes a surprise out, you know? Like, when Slayer first came out, for example, we knew that we had no idea that Slayer was coming out. But with farming, hunter, and summoning, we knew it was coming out well in advance.
I guess it does be that sort of mystery, but I remember the thing is, when Jagex first started to do the development diaries, I think the majority of the time they were actually able to keep up with their announcements. You know, they said in behind the scenes we're going to release this month, and they used to do it. I mean, the first notable thing I can remember them forgetting or not delivering was
Wilderness
when they said
tag.
They were gonna, Wilderness Tag, yeah. And that was the only thing in ages and ages, and then suddenly in the last 6 months or so, it seems like they've been missing things every month. So
it's probably for
the best
that
they,
was due
they
in December. So, okay. So what do you think of the expansion pack idea back on that?
I think since Jagex is, RuneScape as a game is pretty much all based on browser-based content, I don't see how an expansion pack would work. I mean, they could not update for maybe a couple of months and then release a sort of a big new chunk of land.
Well,
with
they said free-to-play is the expansion... Members is the expansion pack, and free-to-play is the basic version.
Yeah, but I mean, if they were adding to what they have now, I mean, I think it would be good if maybe they ceased the in-game updates for, I don't know, 2-3 months and, you know, started working on one big update.
Yeah, that's maybe. The thing. They can't really offer an expansion pack. Again, it's sort of like an expanding expansion pack because of the monthly fee, so... I don't know.
Yeah, and they just can't do it because of the fact it's not installed via CD-ROM. It's a browser-based game.
Yeah. Okay. Attempting to change Jagex's image, which we've talked about, so we're gonna have to wait to see whether or not this will be successful or not. I don't know how long it'll take, but I'd say if we see changes by the summer, then I say we're well on the road. What do you think?
In regards to Jagex's policy on not doing the behind the scenes and promising things, they need to just adopt the Blizzard policy of it's ready when it's ready.
Yes.
If you don't promise a date beforehand, you're never going to disappoint people.
Yes, that's our policy with the site. It's ready when it's ready.
It's ready when it's ready.
I thought you were going to break out into song or something. Okay.
You wish, Shane.
They're going to be running community events, tournaments, and JMod participation in-game to provide more support. That should be interesting.
Yeah, that should be interesting, but I wonder what their idea of JMod participation really is.
I don't know. Playing Castle Wars with you?
Do you really think they pay people to play the game?
Well, yeah, that's why they chose to work there. They like playing the game.
But do you think they would actually pay people to play it?
To come in on a weekend for...
So, on a weekend.
Yeah, for like a huge party, you know? Why not? I'd do it.
Well, because most of the time when JMods log in, they're probably working, and it's just to sort out any sort of issues with new updates or bugs or stuff like that.
Yeah, and bannings. Instant bannings, like the penguin glitch we talked about last week. Oh, thank you, my anonymous listeners, for sending me messages on that. I got about 4 private messages in various forms about how that bug works.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. And finally...
Shane 1288, a happy little boy.
And finally, they got a question. A topic for questions for Mark. But, of course, there's 706 pages as of the time we're recording this, and I want you to take a guess at what the first question is.
Get inside the mind of a RuneScape player. No. Okay, what were most bitching about? Is it Bring the Wilderness Back?
Yeah, Bring the Wilderness Back.
Woo! I'm good.
Remove trade limits and make it so you can pick up other people's items. Which obviously they can't do because they'll be back in the same situation they were with the real world trading.
No, but as we said when the real world trading update happened originally, and as we have said numerous times since, there are other ways for them to solve the RWT problem.
Like what?
They could, you know, monitor trade strictly. They could.
Oh,
it's just no.
I think
come on,
this worked
agreed with me at the time, and you should agree with me that there is that the whole thing with removing the wilderness and removing and imposing the trade limit was too hard. It was too harsh a solution.
Yeah, I think it was good because it works. Like, look, we're fine now. You know. That's my saying. The more things change, the more they stay the same. So we're fine
for God's sake.
We're fine. So I think it was a good choice.
Apathy is the greatest threat to humanity. Oh, it's all right. It'll be all right. Oh, it's fine. We're still here. It's fine.
The only thing I'd
apathy makes me
make some fixes to the GE, and that'd be about it. Oh, and another question. The second question that was asked was. Can you make it so that people can't one item in PvP? So,
what are they going to start sort of telling you what you can and can't wear? You can't go and fight
I guess
basilisks
not, so.
In rune armor, noob.
Let's see. Here.
I'm not interested in reading any more dumbass questions.
Yeah,
dumbass
so let me find it. Oh, yeah. For the record, the person's name is Chainsaw35, if you want to go flame him.
I thought we didn't name and shame people on this show.
Oh, well, I just decided to, because it wasn't a rant. Anyways, yes. Tweaks and fixes for this week. You can now collect your sand from Bert at the same time every day, because the 24-hour time span has been shortened slightly. Did you do that quest, the hand in the sand?
Yeah, it gets you a free bucket of sand every day.
Okay. The rewards for the Sears Village Achievement Diary have been updated, which I don't even remember what they were initially, so I'm not sure how they tweaked them. Do you remember?
No.
No, I don't know. But it's interesting why they choose to do that. The hard reward for the Karamja Diary will now grant free access, when worn, to the Brimhaven Dungeon. I know Mike was happy about that one, because he was saying how much money he spent over all time going down there.
Wow.
So, add-ons have been added to Quick Chat to make it easier for players to converse with player mods and ask them any questions they might have. And they finally made a change to the game engine, which decides which order familiars, NPCs, and players are drawn into it. So, like, if you're standing on it, you know? So in this case, say your bird is standing on top of you, like a terror bird, you will appear on top of it after this.
Oh, right, yes, that's...
So it says that other players will no longer be hidden by bigger creatures 2x2 squares and above. Small NPCs and familiars will now take priority over other players, except in PvP worlds and combat-based minigames. So that's a good change, I'd say. Anyways, yes. I think it's time we should move on to questions, unless you have anything else you want to talk about?
Nope. On to questions.
Woodward?
Onwards. Onwards and upwards. Hello?
First, I'm here.
Well, you just sounded like you...
Oh, okay. This first audio question is from Sax's Axe.
Dear Shane, Brad, and any other guests, if you have a YouTube account, how high is the videos watched counter? -12,500 due to the lack of TV service in my household. Also, Shane, do you think you'll ever find true love? Sincerely, a diehard RSPNV update fan, Sex is X.
Shane has already found true love.
Ah.
It is with the farming skill.
Okay. There you go. There's your answer to that one.
Oh, I answered a difficult question for you. Damn it.
Okay, what's your YouTube channel views?
I pasted them to you earlier because Shane couldn't find out where it was. My personal channel is 7,679, and that's mainly because sometimes I'm too lazy to open iTunes and it lags me too much when I have Ventrilo and all Skype and World of Warcraft open, so I used to watch a lot of music videos on YouTube.
I see. Okay.
That's my reason.
Mine is 6730 with 138 subscribers.
That's the RSPNB staff channel.
So that's what I use. I don't use mine anymore.
Yes.
You know?
Indeed.
So, yeah.
And Shane only knows that because I pasted it to him.
I know. That I think YouTube needs to redesign their site and make it easier to find.
How is it that hard?
I clicked my name up at the top and it didn't, like, it brings down this menu with other things, and I'm not sure what to click, where to get that. So tell me where to go. Let's just show people how hard this
is. Okay, right. You go... let me open up YouTube. YouTube.com/... And then you click your name. Right, yeah. So
okay.
just go into your profile, right?
Yeah.
Do you see the top left of your profile where it says your name and then it says channel and it displays your little avatar as well?
Oh, right there.
Just to the right of that. Shane must be blind, I swear to God.
Oh, right there. Okay. That's interesting. It should be more pronounced, I think. Anyways, thank you, Saxon.
Pronounced Sax. How?
Like, make it easier to see, like, have the stats in its own module rather than transitioning straight into a bio below that, you know? That's what I say.
I guess.
Anyways, yes. Next audio question is from a guy named Assassin 1999.
Hello to everyone who ever done the show. My question would be, what is your worst and best RuneScape experiences? And also, do you have any plans for Valentine's Day? Have you got anything planned up? Keep up the good work. Keep up the good show. Assassin 1999.
So, Brad, what's your best and worst RuneScape experience?
Worst RuneScape experience. Difficult to pin that down.
I know.
Probably when sort of, because before I joined RSBNB, I'd probably been playing RuneScape for about 5 months. Yeah, about 5 months. Because I joined RSBNB in February of 2005, and I'd probably been playing since about, no, probably about 6 months more like. I started playing the end of summer 2004, and I joined RSPNB in February. Probably I started playing with a load of people who introduced me to the game, or one of them did, and they probably all quit by about January, February 2005, so it's quite sort of boring and sad going from playing with lots of people every day to playing by myself.
And your RSPNB birthday was yesterday.
Yeah, I was 4.
Yeah, you're not a toddler anymore. It's time to go to school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But best experience.
Best experience, probably getting 99 fishing.
Oh, okay.
I might have to
get 99 cooking.
Oh God, I can't believe I said that.
So you better hope that Chief wins.
Yes.
Okay.
If you tell him to throw it, I will hate you forever.
Okay. Valentine's Day?
No.
No? Okay. As for me, worst experience...
Nothing I want to discuss on this show, anyway.
Right. He's got an NDA on him.
NDA?
Non-disclosure agreement.
Oh, yeah, right.
With your girlfriend. She made you sign it. Anyways.
How would she make me sign something that she doesn't know about?
Oh, right. Oh, that's why you can't say anything until she listens to the show.
Yeah, right. Listened to this show.
Yeah,
Excuse me, she has a life. Unlike me.
I'll email her and tell her to listen to it.
Oh, how do you have her email?
She emailed me in December when you were sick.
Oh, for God's sake. Stupid women.
And she said that
if it's something embarrassing, I'm going to kill you and her.
She said that she was happy to defend me and say that you're not to tell you to not be mean.
Did she really say that, or are you just
making
that?
Yeah, she did. She did.
Sounds like something she'd say. God damn it.
Anyways, yes. As for me, my best experience would probably have to be the wait and getting 99 farming. Yeah, that'd be that, I'd say. 99 farming. As none of the other 99s I've got have felt quite like farming did. So, I don't know. It's just something about getting farming that wasn't able to be duplicated in the other ones. So, that's what I have to say. And worst, I really don't have any worst unless... my account being hacked, but I was able to recover from that pretty quickly. So that's what I gotta say on that one. And as for Valentine's Day, same. I don't have anything planned. Thank you, Assassin 1999.
3 audio questions this week.
Yes, third final one is from Shredder.
Yo, Shane, since you're addicted to farming and everything, you ever think you're gonna start farming in real life once you quit RuneScape? I wouldn't be surprised if I was driving down where you live and I saw like Shane's farm or something, vegetables half off. But yeah, that's it. From Shredder.
What do you think? Probably not. Seeing as it's hard to farm here, and our growing season is very short from May to through September.
Yeah, you need to move where I live if you want to actually do some farming.
Oh, really? You can farm there?
Yeah, there's loads of farms around here.
Oh, right. Do your farmer accent.
No, I will not demean myself for your amusement, Shane.
So, maybe I think Brad is the one that'll be more likely ending up as a farmer. You know?
No, I'm not going to be a farmer.
Why? It's a good thing in case other career choices don't pad out. You know?
What are you trying to say, Shane?
I'm just trying to say that farming will always be necessary. But no, I won't be farming in real life. I can't here. But anyways, that's an interesting question. Thank you, Shredder. Next one.
Next question. I think the Star Trek movie is going to be sweet. I've seen a few trailers. How excited are you, Shane? How not excited are you, Brad? Please include your answer in a number scale of 1 to 10, in which 10 being super, super excited and 1... dreading it with all part of your being. Thanks, love the show, guys. Keep up the good work. That question is from Naftali14.
So, you first.
Well, the only reason I would be interested in it slightly is because a guy from my hometown is in it.
Oh, he's playing Scotty, right?
Yeah, Simon Pegg.
Right. Okay.
He's from Gloucester.
Oh, you should go see it then.
Just for that? No, yeah. It's not worth it.
Oh, what about the Spock guy? Sylar from Heroes and Spock combined.
What, the guy from who was in Heroes is playing Spock?
Yeah, Yeah. So, I don't know. I'd have to probably say it's not something I'm counting down to. I'd say probably an 8.
Oh, come on. Yes, it is.
No. Because there was no cliffhanger between the last one, so there's no reason to count down. If there's a cliffhanger, then yeah, I'd be counting down. What about you?
No, I'm not even aware faintly when it's released.
May 8th, 2009.
May 8th. Are you going to go see it in the first week?
Yeah.
Is your whole family going? Is it going to be like a family outing?
Yeah. I told Mike he could come if he wants, but I don't know if he wants to.
Mike's a smart guy. He wouldn't want to go to Star Trek.
Okay. With that, it's going to be interesting to see how it goes, because if it turns out to do really well, it will spawn either a new series or another movie, which would be excellent. If it doesn't work, then well, we're going to see it take another break for about 5 to 6 years until someone else picks it up again and gives it another crack. So it. But from what I've seen, I think they are going to achieve their objective of bringing new fans on and keeping the original fans entertained. That's what I gotta say.
You hope.
Yeah, you should hope too. But anyway, thank you. Thank you for that question. Next one. What beverage do you enjoy to drink more, Pepsi or Coke? If you don't like soda, then what do you normally drink?
Soda.
I like Pepsi because it tastes sweeter and the logo is cooler. Another reason I like Pepsi is because you can mix it with cheese and pasta and it still tastes delish. Keep up the awesome show, the Power Crazy. I know, that doesn't sound that... Ew.
Why would you do that?
I don't know.
I want my mummy.
Wow, I never heard you do that kind of moan before. We should make a sound clip out of that.
No.
If we still used MSN Plus, you know?
And we're way out of the sound clip era. There was a time when we all did sound clips, but that time is long
that's
gone.
That's too sad. Remember who used to always make them from the update episodes that you were on?
Yes, I remember.
What about, remember your 1GP loss thing we talked about?
Didn't I say that in like the first episode I was ever
in? Yeah.
See, I was comic genius from the very beginning.
But you sounded embarrassed, like you sounded nervous or something when you were first on.
Of course I was nervous. It's the first time I'd ever done it.
Okay, yeah, but Pepsi, cheese, and pasta? No?
Yeah, I'm not sure whether he's saying he likes to, you know, sort of eat cheese and pasta and have a Pepsi as a drink, or whether he is actually saying that he mixes. Because if you're actually saying that you mix it with it, then you're messed up in the head.
Yeah.
And I think you should seek professional help.
Yeah, I hope you're drinking it, you know? Cause...
Yeah, not like making some sort of sloshy soup out of it.
Thank you, Power Crazy. Oh, we didn't answer the question. Oh, dear.
I prefer Coke.
Pepsi. Pepsi Blue, actually, was good. And Vanilla Coke was good, too. Remember those?
It was alright, but not really.
There was a story
Vanilla
on,
Coke.
On
I also had a bit of a funny taste, you know?
There was a story on Dig about the vanilla, about dead sodas. Vanilla Coke and Pepsi Blue were on there.
Did they do, they did a here a couple of years ago. They had, Coke with lemon.
Oh yeah, they had that here too. That was good.
I like that. That was quite nice.
Yeah. Or it was lime, wasn't it?
No, they did lemon here.
Oh, I thought it was lime here. Oh, well.
Good crazy smell. Canadians with your lime.
Anyways, thank you, Power Crazy. Pepsi and Coke for each of us. Next one.
Next question. First off, what is with the meep meep?
What?
Anyway, what is I posted the questions topic, I posted the usual stuff, like post your question, and then I just randomly posted meep meep at the bottom of the topic. It was completely random, there was no thought process to it, it was just a random nonsense word. Anyway, that's that bit. Anyway, what is a cheat way to get Herbler up to 65? My current level is 57. Love Earth.
Okay.
That's another one of the questions we get regularly.
Plant your herbs. It's the farming skill.
Plant your herbs.
And then harvest them and then use that. Rinse and repeat. That's the only way you're going to make a good amount of profit. You can buy the herbs, but you won't make nearly as much profit. And for that level range, I recommend either prayer potions or once you get the appropriate level, super strength and super attacks, if those still sell. That's what I recommend. Thank you, Earth. So what's with the beep beep?
It was random. I explained it before. It's just a completely beep, random nonsense beep, phrase. It's the sound the Roadrunner used to make. Meep, meep. You know that?
Yeah, I do.
You do know what the Roadrunner was, right?
Like that?
Sort of like that, yeah. Not exactly like that, but similar.
Oh, okay. So it's like...
Yeah, sort of like that.
Okay. Yeah, that's the macOS alert sound that I have set. But
hang
anyways...
I'm sorry, I found a goo.
Sorry for the sounds there. What are you trying to find?
So just something on YouTube with Roadrunner.
Oh, okay. And we wait, and we wait.
There's nothing...
Next question?
I won't bother, there's nothing short.
Okay.
Anyway, move on.
What was the biggest mistake you made in 2008 and that you don't want to make in 2009? That's from Schwa.
The biggest mistake? Is he mean RuneScape or real life?
I guess he means
real life.
Or RuneScape. I don't know. I took it as RuneScape. Because I don't make many mistakes in real life.
Okay, I'll keep my remark to myself.
Okay.
That I would make. Mistakes. I didn't really make any mistakes in RuneScape. I'll tell you what my mistake was in RuneScape. Saying, yeah, sure, I'll get 99 fishing if Jagex changed the damn top hat. And then guess what they did?
Oh, that was so funny. I remember there was that huge topic on the forums about Brad better get your...
It wasn't a huge topic. There was like 10 replies.
It was like 3 pages. Oh, that was great.
Exaggerating.
That was great. But you said it again with cooking.
Yeah, because I keep thinking... The first time I was stupid because I did something I was sure I was going to win on, and for God's sake, I hate you all.
Okay. As for me, I think my biggest mistake on RuneScape in 2008... was probably attempting Herblore. I should have waited until now, I think. Or done it before farming. But I don't know. It's really not the same thing. But I don't know. I think I should have waited a while on Herblore. Until the new PvP came out. Because I did it before, you know? Because I saw no sign of the PvP worlds that I suggested in January. So I should have waited on that a bit. And I can say that I won't be having that problem again this year. I think that's the only mistake I've made. I don't have any regrets. Thank you. Next one?
I've been reading all the... Next question. What is your favorite kind of video game? My personal favorites are the ones you can do whatever you want and the first-person shooters. Keep up the great show. Tim. Yeah, I'd have to agree with that for the most part.
So like Grand Theft Auto?
Yeah, and games like Fallout, even though I had a bitch about some Fallout sometime last year. Just games like Bioshock are good as well. I sort of like the whole like post-apocalyptic or sort of drastically changed worlds, things like that.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Okay. For me, it's first-person shooters that are real. Like, realistic. Call Halo's a first-person shooter, but it's not realistic enough for me. Call of Duty gets close, but there's still lots of more realism that can be put into it, you know? Like, for instance, if you get shot in the arm, you shouldn't be able to use a two-handed weapon, just your pistol or your knife if you're shot in the arm. Then if you get shot in the upper legs, you should have to limp around, right? Or if you get shot in the lower leg, you should just be able to crawl. So, That, like,
why do you
like,
want too much realism in a game? I think Grand Theft Auto 4 proved to us that too much realism in a game is bad.
Why?
Because it makes it not fun. The games that are sort of a bit wacky and a bit off the wall are more fun than games that are rigidly...
Maybe I should get Grand Theft Auto, but I just don't have time for the single player.
Grand Theft Auto 4 is very realistic in terms of the driving, the shooting, and everything. But that's what makes it a bit boring.
See, that's what I like. I like things that are very realistic, you know? Another thing that I like is driving games that are realistic. So if you were to get, like, rammed or something, your car would stop, you know? That's sort of, like, I don't know, just as long as it's realistic for me. Like, I can play games that aren't realistic, but I can say I genuinely prefer a high degree of realism in my games. Another thing I was thinking that should be present in the Call of Duty system is when you're sniping, you should have to take into account for wind and other kind of gravity kind of things.
There's
that
one mission in Call of Duty 4 in the single player game where
I know that.
You
even
shoot a guy from the long range, you have to take into account.
So why couldn't they have built that into this, you know?
Because when you're sniping on maps, the chances are you aren't going to be sniping that far.
Yeah, you are. On big maps.
How far?
Across from one end of the map to the other end. And it's easily a kilometer, I'd say. So, that's what I got to say on that. Realism is the key. Thank you, Tim. Next one, Shane. If you could go into space, would you? Also, what should I do with my levels? My name is ZachMaster13. Keep up the good work. That's from Buddy Macaroni. Now, let's take the space one first. The answer is yes, obviously. But take a look at his levels. What do you think? What should he do? It looks like you are a member, I'm assuming, because you do have some member skills ranked. I would recommend, of course, as always, getting your farming and herbler ranked. And get those ones done first, and then get all the other ones done. That's what I say.
Yeah, get all your skills on the high scores. That's a good thing to aim for.
And then after that, just start with the obvious things like all skills 40+, 50+, 60+, 70+, until you find a skill that you really like and you can get a goal. So that's
good to be balanced.
Yeah, and if you're interested in combat, just do Slayer. Thank you, Lady Macaroni. Last question, Brad.
Last question.
Yeah.
Do you eat food that you dropped on the floor? If so, how long is it on the floor and you decide you can't eat anymore? Do you not eat food off the floor unless it's only been on the floor for 3 seconds? I'd say I'm probably pretty much the same as you. I wouldn't pick something up that's sort of been on lying on the floor for a long time, but if I just drop something, providing the floor isn't filthy, I probably will just pick it up and eat it.
Not even if
it's sort of, you know, if the floor is perfectly clean,
I know,
and it just touched the floor, it still puts you up.
Not even if it's in our own house that I know that's clean, I won't. I'll just pick it up and put it aside.
Freak.
Why? It's been tested on Mythbusters that the duration of contact has no means of controlling how much bacteria gets on the food. Once it lands on the floor, it's contaminated.
There's bacteria on the food anyway, Shane.
Well, no, you know what I mean. Extra bacteria that wasn't on the food beforehand. But, yeah.
I don't understand people who are overtly concerned about health.
You should be. You'll live longer.
No, not really. You could get, you know, malignant cancer tomorrow and, you know, die within 6 weeks, so
okay,
that doesn't really ring true.
Anyways, that's it for questions. We're going to move on to tech news now.
Yay, tech news.
Gears of War writer says that the Lancer is the new lightsaber. Have you ever played Gears of War?
Nope.
Well, the Lancer is this gun that's the primary submachine gun with a chainsaw attached to it. The writer behind Gears of War has revealed that he has a 10-year plan for the franchise, and fans can look forward to a long future of Gears of War titles. The Gears of War series has become a hit thanks to its large, intense, over-the-top action sequences. One thing the franchise isn't particularly highly regarded for is its story. In spite of this, the writer for the game says he has long-term plans which he hopes could approach the epicness of Star Trek-like proportions. That's one of my edits. It originally said Star Wars.
Star Wars is epic. Star Trek is not.
No. So we're just going to go with Star Trek-like proportions.
No.
Yes.
No.
What kind of voice is that? No.
That's how you sound.
And he says on the order of 10 years he's talking about. It should be interesting to see how this goes, but I don't sound like that when I say no.
Yeah, you do.
That's how Sarah Palin sounds when she says no.
No. I'm Shane 128. No.
Okay. Okay. So check this out if you're interested in Gears of War. I know a fair few of you are. Next point is Google Chrome extensions. Do you use Google Chrome?
No.
Did you ever try it?
Yeah, I tried it when it came out.
What did you think?
I thought it was okay. You know, if I ever had to give up Firefox, I'd probably use it more.
Yeah, better than Opera. I actually like it for its minimalistic properties, and it is actually going to be getting extensions coming at the end of May, according to this article. So that's a welcome sight, you know, because there's a few little things, like, for instance, it has no GreaseMonkey or UserJS type of abilities, so that'd be something that's a welcome thing to have to tweak various websites and have, say, an extension, like a web developer extension, you know? So, I don't know, it's definitely something to watch, and it might actually increase the market share of Google Chrome, because right now it's like 0.7%, which I believe is slightly more than Opera has. So, anyways.
So, Hansing, Google Chrome is ahead of Opera.
Yeah, that's right.
Safari.
It goes Opera, Chrome, Safari, Internet Explorer, Firefox. Online. But if you go to a different kind of site, like a non-technically oriented site, IE will be first. So, yeah. And then the final one is something about the whole, you've been following that legal battle with Systar at Apple about their clone Macs that Apple is suing and that Systar countersued.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't really have an opinion.
Oh, so you wouldn't be overjoyed if Systar won this, causing Apple to have to license back OS to third parties.
Like I said, I really don't have an opinion on it. But I just hope Apple loses because they're Apple.
A federal judge said that Systar could continue its lawsuit against Apple, giving the Mac clone winner maker a rare win on its 7-month-old battle with Apple. He also hinted that if Systar is able to prove its allegations, then others may be free to sell Mac OS. So what this basically is saying that if Systar wins this, then Apple will basically have to, on the grounds of antitrust, open up Mac OS and have it sold to third-party manufacturers, which, you know, would be a good thing, because I'm going to admit here that the Mac hardware is priced at a premium, but it's sort of like...
No way.
Yeah, I do admit that. It's like, it's been equated to buying, say, like a Ford versus a BMW. That's what it's been equated to in the past. So, I just wanted to say that. And I think it'd be a good thing if Apple lost this, because Microsoft had to face similar things regarding Internet Explorer in the 90s, so why not Apple with this now that their market share is gradually increasing upwards of 20% in some markets? So, oh, Hopefully it happens. But again, Brad, you don't have any thoughts on this, do you?
No, I really don't.
Okay, moving on to something more controversial then and other things. Some Sick of the Week changes. Sick of the Week is undergoing changes in which...
Controversial!
Oh, that sounded weird when you said that. Where basically the judges will be replaced by the general community members. Some people like this, some people don't. We feel it gives a greater... what's the word I'm looking for? Like, what's the word for, like, a sample set? Like, a greater, greater insight on
A greater demographic.
Oh, yeah, bigger demographic. That's the word I'm looking for. That, and with that, it'll probably encourage people more to enter and stuff. So, yeah, that's... The first one is going to be started voting on tonight when you are listening to this. So, now... check out the new Sing of the Week on the forums at forums.rsbnb.com. How about a little skill of the month update so we can see if Brad has to get 99 cooking at the end of the month?
Hope
and things are actually looking in your favor right now because Chief Snake is winning by roughly 228k XP. Second place is a Div with 2.1 million XP. Third is X-Blaze with 1.4 million XP, and fourth is me with 1.2 million XP. And then we go down to 999k, 700k, and then there are still three people who haven't got any XP whatsoever, who really should. Whose names are KJTH, Colin Soccer 123, and Connor.
So isn't it a bit stupid when people sign up to join Skill of the Month and don't really partake? Yes.
Yeah, I know. So you should get some XP, you know? It'll make me happy.
Anyway, don't make Shane happy.
Yes, do it. We got a Gears of War event tomorrow, because this is coming out on Friday, so Gears of War event on... Saturday. I think we are going to be pretty full, so it would be advisable to get there early. So, but you must have a forum account and add us on Xbox Live so we know who you are. What else have we got? Oh yeah, so we want you to take our survey at update.rspb.com/survey. It'll help us, get a feeling of what you think of the show and how we are progressing at this time forward. Thank you. So, what have you been up to, Sir Brad Woodward?
Not much. Sleeping, that's my yawning.
Oh. So trouble sleeping?
I always have trouble sleeping.
Oh, that's too bad. Any RuneScape stuff?
No, apart from today when Shane made me log on.
World of Warcraft?
No, barely. Oh,
so in fact, you're pretty boring this week then.
I'm not boring, I'm just spending more time outside.
Oh, what are you doing outside?
I have no idea.
Oh, really? So you're just...
aimlessly. Oh. I never give serious answers in the what have you been doing section. I always...
Well, what have you been doing, Ben?
Nothing. Spending time with my girlfriends.
Oh. You should going get her to come on the show.
No.
No.
She doesn't actually... She knows I'm on a podcast. She doesn't know in detail what the podcast is about. So if I were to tell her it's a stupid Java game aimed at 12-year-olds, it probably would diminish my standing somewhat.
You could show her the princess episode again.
No.
That'd be fun.
No.
Never. As for me, as you can probably tell, I've been rather sick this week, so I've been attempting to do my farming runs and do agility when
Shane's
possible.
Shane's a sick bastard.
But right now, my emphasis is just on farming. Speaking of which, I gotta go do some farming right now, so I think it's time to say that RSVP Update 191 is done.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Brad, the 4-year-old child, says goodbye.